Imagine the sun in the sky. The sun shining in the sky. That imagination is a manifestation of your knowledge. Before the manifestation, the knowledge was there in unmanifest form. Imagine a tree in a meadow. That is a manifestation of your knowledge of meadow and tree. Which was previously unmanifest. If your mind is settled in yourself, simply resting in yourself, absorbed in the self, not awake to itself or to anything else, but simply resolved in the self. It will eventually come out of that condition. Where there's an initial engagement with itself, the mind, instead of being just simply resolved in the self, there comes a moment of engagement where the self is as though awake to the mind or the mind awake to itself. And from there, there can be a manifestation of thought. Manifestation of knowledge that prior to that was unmanifest. If I have a recollection now of what I did 10 minutes ago, prior to having the recollection, the memory was unmanifest. It was there, or you couldn't recollect it. But it was unmanifest until you draw it forward. Whether knowledge is manifest or unmanifest, I remain the one changeless being from whom and for whom that knowledge is manifest or unmanifest. The manifest or unmanifest knowledge is not apart from me. I'm going to say a few words, and as I say those words, notice how the knowledge, your knowledge of that particular word, manifests, comes from the unmanifest, manifests. And notice the relationship of that manifestation of your knowledge in relationship to your own being. Chair. Tree. Apple. Fruits. Table. House. Each image that comes is a manifestation of knowledge. For Ishwara, the entire creation is a manifestation of knowledge. Sarvagnyatvam, sarvavit. Sarvagnyatvam means all. All knowledge, sarvavit, all knowledge in particular. For Ishwara, the creation is a manifestation of knowledge similar to you, the manifestation of knowledge in reference to a thought or the dream experience or a recollection. Om Padram Karne Bishvinuyamate Vaha. Om Padram Karne Bishvinuyamate Vaha. Padram Pashe Makshapir Yajatraha. Padram Pashe Makshapir Yajatraha. Stirairangai Istushtuvagum Sastanupihi. Stirairangai istushtuvagun sastanubihi Vyashema devahitam yadayuhu Vyashema devahitam yadayuhu Swastina indro vrittashravaha Swastina indro vrittashravaha Swastina pusha vishvavedaha Swastina pusha vishvavedaha Swastinastarksho arishtanemihi. Swastinastarksho arishtanemihi. Swastino brahaspatir tathatu. Swastino brahaspatir tathatu. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Okay. We're on verse 8, Tapasa Chiyate. Repeat after me. Tapasachiyate Brahma. Tapasachiyate Brahma. Tatonam abhijayate. Tatonam abhijayate. Annat prano manasatyam. Annat prano manasatyam. Lokat karmasu chamritam. Lokat karmasu chamritam. In the previous verse, tapasa, sandhi, tapasa, chiyate, brahma, tataha, annam, abhijayate, annat, pranaha, manaha, satyam, lokaha, karmasu, cha, amritam. In the previous verse, the emphasis was on Brahman as the upadana karanam, as the material cause. So we talked about that for a while, vivarta upadana karanam. The emphasis is on upadana karanam. But even when we think of the spider creating the threads and bringing it back to himself, there's also the idea of the nimitta karanam, the efficient cause, is there. But the emphasis is on the upadana karanam. Whereas in this verse, the emphasis is on the nimitta karana, right, the efficient cause of Brahma. So, tapasa chiyate brahma. Brahman, chiyate, Swamiji uses the word bulges, swells. We'll talk about what that means. Tapasa, by tapas, through tapas. Tapas, so let me just go through the verse, then we'll go more slowly. Tapasa chiyate brahman. Brahman swells or bulges through tapas. From that, annam, food, abhijayate, is born, comes forth. Anat, from food, pranaha, the prana. Manaha, from the prana, really. Manaha satyam lokaha. The mind, satyam. What is satyam, which means vyaharaka satyam, the empirical reality, and lokaha, from that all of the worlds. From this, then within all of that, in reference to all of the karmas that are, the activities that are done, is the amritam, the pulla, the karma pulla, the fruits of those actions. So that's a very condensed, we have to see what all of these words mean. So, we'll see in the next verse that the next verse defines tapas as jnanamayam, pure knowledge. Because for Brahman, there's no... When we often think of tapas, we think of austerities. Brahman is not performing austerities, right? Because for Brahman, just as being the Sat-Chit-Ananda, just the pure self that I am, or the pure self that is the reality, how can that self perform any type of tapas? So tapas itself, the word has a lot of meanings. So what is the meaning here? So the meaning is jnanam. From Brahman's jnanam, all of this comes. So it says, tapasa chiyate brahma. Brahma as though swells or bulges from knowledge. So Shankara uses an interesting example. Like the ankura, like the seed, like how the bija, how the seed swells before the ankura, before the sprout comes, how the seed swells before the sprout comes, and then from that readiness, from that position of readiness, then the sprout comes, right? So there's a position of readiness here. That's a transitional point. I was getting at it in the meditation, but so we want to deal with it now. When the seed gets into a Say when the seed has absorbed water and is now just ready to sprout. It has not yet sprouted, but it's in a position of readiness to sprout. So like that, when Brahman becomes in a position of readiness, from that position of readiness, then there is a state of avyakta. So exactly what that means, I'll tell in a minute. But let's look at this swelling, this bulging. That's one example. He uses the sprout from the seed. Another is when the father procreates the son. The father swells in the act of procreation. That's how it is in the Bhashya. Swamiji says also, when a son comes in, the father-son relationship, when the father, say the son has been waiting for the father, right? And the father and son come together, then the son, in S-O-N, son, in anxiousness or in happiness, the mind becomes set, ready, in anticipation, once the father comes into sight. There's another with Shankara and some other Bhashyas also look at that as saying, really, for the act of procreation, how the father swells in the act of procreation before he procreates the son, before the intercourse, before he procreates the son, there's that expectancy, right? There's that swelling, that becoming ready for that act of procreation to actually occur. And so that's another way that some commentaries look at that. So now here, when we think of Brahman, plus this capacity maya, right, you can't even talk about this without bringing in that capacity maya. Because from Brahman, the standpoint of Brahman, you just have the conscious being, that there is no swelling, there is no bulging, there is no becoming the creation. So from the standpoint of Brahman the self, there is no change, there's nowhere to change, there's nothing that is not Brahman. So there's no outside of Brahman for it to change, to become that. But there's no room for change because there's nothing there except for that. And so there's no outside to it. There's no inside to it, no outside to it. It's homogeneous. So for consciousness, there is no possibility of change. Right? So, and yet, here we are. Here is this manifestation, you know, that is absolutely infinitely diverse and is brought about. It does come into being in the same way as your thought or a vritti or a memory, for instance. If you say a memory, like what we did in the meditation, if you have a memory, like say you have a memory of your child, for instance, when your child was a baby, you have a memory. That memory, you know, I just told you now, I just asked you to evoke that memory. Right? But before you evoked it, it was there in unmanifest condition, abiding quietly, no problem, just simply abiding there and easily able to manifest. But in the non-manifestation or the manifestation, there was no change in your being. Right? The manifestation takes place, the resolution of the manifestation takes place in your being, not away from your being, but it's not that your being changes to become that manifestation. And that is your experience, right? The thought comes from you, is sustained by you, resolves into you. The thought manifests, your knowledge, we can say, because Swamiji uses this word quite a bit, your knowledge manifests. You don't manifest. You're already there. Right? The conscious being that you are is always there. It's always already there as the constant being that you are. So you're not manifesting. You're already manifest. You're self-evident. That's what we call the Swaprakashatvam. Your being is already completely there. But there is this capacity that we call maya that manifests upon your will and resolves upon your will. And when it manifests, it's, we can say, it's a manifestation of your knowledge. It's not somebody else's knowledge. So knowledge manifests and goes into unmanifest condition. And we can use this as an example, right? That what you get to experience in your own mind, in reference to your own mind or your own experiences, we use these as examples so that we can then extend that example to make you kind of understand what is being said about Ishvara. What is Ishvara? Brahman and Ishvara are the same thing. There's no Ishwara apart from Brahman. It's just that. Why do we have to make the distinction? Why do we have to make the distinction? It's because for you to recognize, it's very, very simple really, it's for you to recognize that you are Brahman, right? It's in the whole teaching methodology, right? How can I say like this? You, O Jiva, you are Ishwara. Because Ishwara is the whole, right? Ishwara is the whole. So there's a whole understanding that has to take place that this body, mind, sense, organs, everything that manifests, everything that comes into manifestation is actually Ishwara, right? Everything that comes into manifestation is Ishwara. But who is that Ishwara? Who is the Ishwara? Brahman. There's no Ishwara that isn't Brahman. It's like if I were to say, your mind, O Jiva, okay, your mind comes into manifestation. Right? The mind comes into manifestation. Whose mind is it? Whose mind is it? You can say it's my mind. Well, who is the me? There is no other me. There is no me apart from the mind. Right? There's no me separate from the mind. I can very well say, it's my mind. It's my knowledge. And it is. It's my mind. It's my knowledge. But what's the problem? The problem is that when I say it's my mind and it's my knowledge, right, is that then I take myself to be the mind. I take on the gunas, the qualities of the mind. So if I say, it's my knowledge, right? It is my knowledge. It's not away from me. It's not somebody else's knowledge. It's my knowledge. But then I have to recognize who that my is. Do I become the mind? Do I change into the manifestation? Do I become the thought? Do I become the emotion? Do I become the feeling? Do I become the body? Do I become anything that exists within the creation that I experience? Do I become that? Or am I the very being that enjoys without an act of becoming? And that's what we need to see in our own experience, that I am the very being. I am the very being that all manifestation enjoys. There is no other being. There is no separation between the manifestation and me. But the manifestation of a knowledge, of thought, of emotion, of memory, of whatever the experience I have, that manifestation doesn't change me. I am the changeless being of that manifestation. And in fact, it's easy for you to see that if we just stick to the relationship of yourself and a thought in the mind. This physical world enjoys an empirical reality, so we're getting into Ishwara now. This physical world is not a product of my mind's manifestation. This is Ishwara's manifestation, right? This isn't a subjectivity. I'm not just thinking you. So I think you, and so there you are. That's what we mean by this word, as we'll get to it, the satyam. The satyam is this empirical order that we find ourselves in terms of this physical body, right, and your physical body, and this rug, and this solar system. It's the physical order, the reality which I am not creating as a jiva, but which I, as a jiva, live in, right? So I am part of this as a body, mind, sense organs, my body, my mind, my sense organs, everything that makes up this jiva. This is part of the satyam, of this vyavaharika satyam, of this empirical reality. And so I'm not using that as an example because this is Ishwara, you know? if I'm talking about a manifestation, the total manifestation of the whole creation as a total manifestation of knowledge, so that's Ishvara. So I'm trying to make you understand what it might be like to be Ishvara in reference to your own experience. Because this physical body belongs to the Ishvara manifestation, as does your mind, right, and sense organs. But our mind is like a little piece of Ishvara. We can understand the relationship between the Atma, right, between Brahman, and the manifestation, the total knowledge, and Brahman as yourself, and the manifestation of just a simple recollection, for instance. Yourself and a recollection. This creation, just a little aside, this creation is cyclical. It's a manifestation and a resolution of knowledge. It's a manifestation of total knowledge. It's Ishvara. Ishvara manifesting total knowledge. When I say Ishvara manifesting total knowledge, that's Brahman with its Maya capacity. It's not something else. It's Brahman, the manifestation of the total knowledge, and a resolution of total knowledge. Manifestation of total knowledge, resolution of total knowledge. And so now, how does we use the total knowledge? Well, say I ask you now, we're going to make your mind as Ishvara, as the Maya, Upadi. And I say, okay, I want you to manifest some knowledge and then resolve it. So think of your loved one. Think of a loved one. It's a recollection. But right now, say you think of a loved one. That's a recollection. That recollection is a manifestation of knowledge. Now if I say, think of your home. Now, that vritti, that thought modification, is a manifestation of knowledge. It's a recollection, right? You're bringing your knowledge into manifestation. Before that, it was there, but not manifest. So doesn't mean it wasn't there. That unmanifest knowledge is always there. That's the Maya Upadi, right? That's the Maya Upadi. The unmanifest knowledge is there, and it comes to manifestation. Now, in reference to your vritti, when it comes to manifestation, right, the vritti comes to manifestation, what has happened to you? The one from whom the knowledge is manifest, the conscious being. You remain exactly the same. And there's no distance between you and the manifestation, or any distance between you and the non-manifestation. When the non-manifestation is there, it's just simply not being cognized at all. The vritti is an unmanifest condition. The knowledge is an unmanifest condition. But it is there. So now think of Brahman with all knowledge. Think of this entire universe as being a manifestation of total knowledge, of all knowledge, of all duality, of all knowledge that there is, of everything that there is. In subtle form, in unmanifest condition, which we call avyakta, which is the total unmanifest condition, what is that like? It's there, but it's not manifest. What is it like for you when you're not thinking of your loved one? Or you're not thinking of your house? Or you're not thinking of the sun? Is it any less there? No. It's just not manifest. Does it matter whether it's manifest or not? To its being, to its existence, to what it is? No. Does it matter right now? Say I ask you, okay, I want you to have a thought of your home. Now you have the thought. And now I'll say, have a thought of your car. You have that thought. And the home thought is gone. But that knowledge is there, just the same. It is not an addition. Its presence or its absence doesn't say anything about it. Its manifestation or its non-manifestation is not a comment on its being there. It is there, whether it's manifest or not. And so total knowledge, the whole Maya Upadi, when it's in avyakta, what's that like? It's not manifest. That's what it's like. What it's like when you're not thinking of your home. It's not like anything. It's not there. So now say, it's not there, but it's not there as manifest, but it's there. Because it's there in potential. It can be brought forward at any time. So now, here, Brahman bulges. So, what does that mean? Brahman bulges through tapas. Tapas is jnanamayam, made of nothing but knowledge. It's just pure knowledge. So now, imagine this. Yourself, going to go back to just you and the vritti, your mind, which is the maya, maya upadhi, right, is just resolved in yourself. It is not awake to itself. It is absorbed in you. No activity. It's really a nirvikalpa samadhi, really, is what it is. It's just totally absorbed in your own being. Does everybody get me that? It's not self-conscious. It's not self-conscious. It's absorbed in your being. When it becomes self-conscious, that's the bulge. When it becomes self-conscious, now that's the beginning of the avyakta. Now we're in, this is here in Yagarbha really, this is the state. It is this state that then the Brahman becomes Brahmaji, in a sense. When that bulge is there. And then from there the avyakta, right, then the avyakta is ready to manifest into the creation. So here, I'll get into this more, but let's look a little bit at the verse. So, tapasa chiyate brahma. There's not going to be any jnanam without maya, other than the jnanam of just consciousness. So when we're talking about through the tapas, Brahman bulges through tapas, there's no bulge, there's no cognition, nothing, unless we bring in that maya, which is, what's the word? I can't say that Brahman, I like to say it like this, but I can't, it's not correct really. I like to say that maya is intrinsic to Brahman, but that's a bad use of the word, to say intrinsic. The way I kind of like to say it, so I'll talk about why I like to say it, because maybe I can make it more clear that way. There is nothing but Brahman. There's nothing but Brahman. Where is Brahman? There's nothing but Brahman. So there, where is not Brahman? There is no not Brahman. This is Brahman. Right? So there's no getting around Brahman. There's no getting away from Brahman. There's no place where Brahman is not. This is Brahman. Right? So this is Brahman completely. Okay. So now, this maya, which is responsible for the manifestation of duality, subject-object, seer-seen, knowing, nama-rupa, name and form, the five elements, every time and space, everything that makes up the jagat, everything that is responsible for the time-space duality, right? The appearance, the manifestation of knowledge, that which is responsible for the manifestation of knowledge and the non-manifestation of knowledge. The non-manifestation of the knowledge is what we call avyakta. Right? Because Brahman is not manifesting or not manifesting. Right? Manifestation and non-manifestation take place in Brahman that's already there. Right? So there's no becoming or manifesting for Brahman. Brahman is already here. Everywhere, there's nothing that isn't Brahman. Right? And so that's already a given. So now, this manifestation and non-manifestation, what is that? That's what we call maya. Where does it exist? Where does this maya exist? Well, there's odd ways to answer that. We can say, well, it doesn't exist. Because the only thing that exists is Brahman. Maya is only Brahman. But then if we say that, there's no way for us to teach or to account for the experience of this duality that we do experience that is here. And so we have to use this word maya to account for the experience of name and form, the experience of subject-object, that takes place not apart from Brahman. So we can say all of this is Brahman, but this manifestation of duality that involves subject and object, right? This is what we call maya, that has no being or no essence apart from Brahman, right? It's not an addition to Brahman because there's nothing here besides Brahman. So there's nothing that can be added because it already is Brahman. So this maya has no substance, no being, no nothing, no anything apart from Brahman. And yet it is this incredible creative capacity that is natural to Brahman, but which doesn't change Brahman at all. There's no becoming, changing, or modification of Brahman, nor is there any away from Brahman as this modification takes place. How to understand that? We have to go back to our own experience to see the truth of it. The truth of it that you yourself experience all the time. You experience Brahman, yourself, the self-effulgent being, just you, your own presence, and you experience the manifestation of your knowledge and the non-manifestation of your knowledge, which is not away from you, not separate from you, that has no independent reality, because if it did, how could it just appear and resolve and appear and resolve? Where is its substance? Where is its substance apart from you? It has no substance apart from you at all, right? It comes from you, right? It's sustained by you, and it resolves into you. But it is not you. Why? Because it comes, it projects itself, and it resolves, and you don't. It's not like a knowledge manifests, a thought manifests, and now you've come into being for the first time, and the thought resolves, and you're gone. There is no coming or going for you. You're the constant, and the manifestation is never away from you, but you don't come and go with it at all. And so that recognition you have internally as an individual, so you can understand very practically and experientially maya. What exactly is meant by maya? Because it's not away from you, right? It's not you have your little Ishwaratvam, that you have your little experience of being Ishwara. Even the dream that we talk about so frequently is such a beautiful experience of being Ishwara, and especially if we make it a lucid dream. You know? It comes from you, it's sustained by you, it resolves in you, it has no being apart from you. That's the maya. Now, So that's trying. These drishtantas, these examples, are trying to make you understand. The Shruti wants you to see its vision, to gain its vision. Because it is telling you, the Shruti is revealing to you what Ishwara is. What the Lord is exactly. It's not that you can know that. Through the means of knowledge that we have as an individual, you cannot gain that knowledge of Ishwara. Because your sense organs are all participating within the dream, within the creation. You don't have the means of knowledge to take you outside of time and space. There's no Archimedean point, you know, to take you outside of the whole situation and look at it happening. So you can't get outside. So the Shruti is a pramana to tell you, this is Ishwara. Appreciate this as Ishwara. This is what it is. And so this particular verse here is very descriptive. It says, first, so if the creation is viewed as a manifestation of total knowledge, and it is viewed as cyclical, right? If there's no first creation, the creation presents itself, it manifests, and then it resolves. It manifests and it resolves. What is that process? So here it says, tapasa chiyate brahma, brahman, okay? Bulges by tapas means now becomes aware, right? Because of the maya upadhi, right? The total, that what we call the samishti, the whole maya upadhi, of the total maya upadhi, is that knowledge. So now, when Brahman first becomes aware, what is that like? It's like instead of the mind being resolved in a nirvikalpa, where the mind is just totally focused or absorbed in the self, that moment of self-aware, where it becomes self-aware, at that point, the avyakta comes into being. Not as though the avyakta wasn't there before, it's that consciousness. The world, the universe is still non-dual. It's still non-dual means it's non-differentiated. That's the avyakta state. It's not differentiated. That avyakta state, that non-differentiated state, that's what we call Hiranyagarbha. It's from that conscious being. Now we have Ishvara. It's Brahman is now, we can call Ishvara. Brahman is Ishvara. But we'll say now Brahman is awake. Means that this upadhi is self-conscious. And now so, now at this point, we have sarvajnatvam. And it is from this point, he says, tattaha annam abhijayate, the annam is born. Annam means food. Food means that which is enjoyed. So annam is considered the avyakta, the unmanifest condition. Okay, so now, think like this. You're in nirvikalpa samadhi. You become awake to yourself. Still everything is unmanifest. There's no manifestation there, but you are a conscious being. You're not just resolved, just pure consciousness. You are now awake. No manifestation, but avyakta. You now as Ishvara, are ready. The mind is ready to produce. So that avyakta state is what comes for us. When the mind is awake, now from that this avyaktam comes. Because you're awake to the total. The total knowledge is there unmanifest now. Right? Just like for you. Right now, the total knowledge of everything that you've experienced is here, right now. It's unmanifest, though, right? But it's here. So what if all knowledge, you know, all knowledge were of you, everything, were to manifest? Infinite knowledge, storehouse of knowledge, were to come into manifestation. That's the manifestation of total knowledge. Now, say the total knowledge that you have was unmanifest. Right? You're still here, right? But the mind is just quiet. It's in like Savikalpa Samadhi. Right? It's awake to itself. Then it manifests. But that at that point, that creation is ready. So he says, from that, he goes, from that and not pranaha. Pranaha is what they say, Hiranyagarbha. So let me go back here because I'm jumping a little bit. From the annam, from that avyakta, okay, from that avyakta, the Hiranyagarbha comes. Hiranyagarbha, so how they're working that here. Let me make this clear. When I become aware of the creation, okay, see, if I become aware of my thought, first the bulging, I have my thought, and that is the avyakta. When I become aware then of the creation, now the creation is manifest, and I'm aware of it, that's what we call Hiranyagarbha. So now think of this. The expression of total knowledge, the manifestation of total knowledge, when that happens, as that total knowledge begins its manifestation, I am aware of it. So that's what we call a sutra-atma. There's the awareness of the whole. So the one who is aware of the whole, that is called Hiranyagarbha. When the creation comes into manifestation, from that, there's two ways we can take this. Well, I think Swamiji takes it like this. Comes the manaha. From that Hiranyagarbha, and many things come. One is the manas. all of the individual minds, all minds, are part and parcel of that Hiranyagarbha, kind of like all waves are part of the ocean. You can also take the manas there as cosmic mind. There's two ways that it's taken. So you can take the manas as cosmic mind, or you can take Hiranyagarbha itself as cosmic mind, the total mind. And then the manas that each individual enjoys is part and parcel of that Hiranyagarbha, just like this physical body is part and parcel of the Virat, of the physical universe. So here he says, from that prana, from the basha, the manas comes, and then the physical world comes. Satyam is the empirical reality. Satyam means that which is real, as opposed to that which is imagined here. That's what satyam means. So this real world, the world that belongs to Ishwara, not the projected world of the individual. So the world that all individuals enjoy, from that Hiranyagarbha, the worlds come. And from the satyam, and from that satyam come all of the lokas. There's seven lokas up and seven lokas down. All of the different worlds of experience come from that. And once all of that is there, then come all of the karmas. And by karmas, they mean the karmeshu. In all of, there's the karmas, there's the varnas, there's the caste system. We could say like that if you go into the Indian culture. You know, comes the caste system and the stages of life and all of the different rituals and all of the duties, all of the things, all of the rules that are ordained for humanity. All of these things come. So you could say, if we say just more less culturally, all of the human activities come. All of the activities of all living beings come. And when all of those activities have come, then in reference to those activities, there is amrita, that which is eternal, meaning the karmapala. The fruits of those activities come. And the fruits of all of your activities are considered eternal, because as long as the jiva is there, as long as the karta, as long as the doer is there, there will be karmapala. The only resolution to the karmapala is the fruits of your actions, is the resolution of the jiva. So as long as that kartrutvam is there, there will be activity. As long as there's activity, there's the fruits to the activity. And so the world keeps going. Right? The world keeps going round and round and round like that. So this verse is trying to give you the start, the next verse, which we'll do next week, is trying to give you a start of kind of appreciating Brahman as Ishwara. It's appreciating Brahman as Ishwara. What happens from the standpoint of Brahman, in terms of Brahman becoming this creation? How does Brahman become this creation? Through tapas. What is tapas? Jnanamayam. Tapas is jnanamayam. It's only knowledge. So it's bringing the knowledge into manifestation. What does it bring? What is it experientially to bring knowledge into manifestation? What is it like for you experientially to bring knowledge into manifestation? What is the relationship between you, the Atma, and the manifestation of a recollection? You have to look inside. What is your own experience in terms of yourself, the Atma, and the manifestation of a recollection? So now, in terms of the total, what is the relationship of the Atma, Brahman? The Atma, which is Brahman, yourself. What is the relationship of the Atma, yourself, which is Brahman, to the Maya Upadhi, the total knowledge, through tapas, the manifestation of total knowledge? Just as when you have a manifestation of knowledge, which is vyashti, which is partial, upadnyaha, we call it partial knowledge. Still, whatever the knowledge is, whatever it is, it is known. Whatever it is known. That's the qualification of it. Just think of it. Anything comes into manifestation, what does that mean? It means it is known. Right? It's not away from you, and it is known. So in reference to that manifestation, you are a sarvajna. And sarvavit, we can say that it's not quite true, but it is true in reference to the vritti. Right? You know it. The whole vritti is known, and you know what's in it. Totally. Comes from you, sustained by you, it is known, it resolves into you. Creation is like that. The creation is a manifestation of total knowledge. And the creation manifests total vritti, the maya upadi, right, the samishti upadi, it is known. That's Ishwara. That's what we mean, that's Ishwara. Who is Ishwara? Brahman. Right? Brahman, when the knowledge manifests, when we account for the maya upadi, when we account for this creation, then we call Brahman Ishwara. Right? Because we're accounting for the maya upadi there. So this maya manifests, what does that mean? It means that it's an infinite thought in a sense, or it's the manifestation of knowledge, and that experience it means is that is known. Do you see what I'm saying? And so that's what we mean by Ishwara. This entire creation is known. It's Bhagavan. You know? And each individual jiva, this body, is all part of that. Like if you were to have a complex imagination, you know, a complex knowledge, with individuals walking around and birds chirping and flowers growing and sun shining, that's a complex imagination, right? You're the Ishwara of that imagination, and the jivas are the ones walking around inside. But the jivas are totally one with that imagination. There's nothing separate between the jivas or the individuals and the imagination. They are the imagination. They have no separation from it whatsoever. And what is the self of the imagination? It's me. The self of the jivas is me. The self of the grass is me. The self of the sun is me. The self of the sky is me. It's all me. So I am, and who's me? Right? Who is me? Right? I am the one that is the self of all of this. So that's when Swamiji's always saying, you know, I am the whole. I am the self of all of this. There's none of this is away from me. You know? Or this is all Ishwara's knowledge. To understand this word knowledge, what does that mean? This is Ishwara's knowledge. It's a manifestation of knowledge. So you have to work with your own knowledge. What is that? Manifestation and non-manifestation of knowledge. And then just make it total knowledge. So we'll work on this more next week. Let's take a minute. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.